Going Linux, Episode 91. The long-awaited Gaming with Linux Advanced episode. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom.
Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
Currently, we create 3 episodes a month. We release listener feedback episodes at the beginning of each month and user experience episodes near the end.
Following the third Tuesday of each month, we post my appearances on the live Computer America radio show.
In the user experience episodes, like this one, we take 2 months to cover a topic. First an introduction, and then an in-depth look at the Linux operating system and its applications.
In today's episode, Linux Gaming, the Advanced episode.
And this one took a while for us to get out.
Oh, indeed it did. And we're finally here, Tom. We're ready to go.
Right. And we hope that you'll find this and all of our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
Well, Tom, one thing I want to mention before we get started with the gaming episode, we'll just keep people hanging a little tiny bit longer. I just want to mention that I will be speaking at the Southern California Linux Expo, which will be held in the Los Angeles area at the Westin, right next to the Los Angeles airport, in February.
Excellent.
Yeah. Check out their website, socallinux.org, and there you will find information about the dates, the times, the travel information, the hotel information, and everything else, if you can make it. And if you can't, then they typically do record most of the sessions. I don't know exactly which day I will be speaking or what time yet, but I am in the new Linux user track and will be speaking about Linux for Windows users.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Well, thanks.
Do we have a promo we can play for that at the end?
We certainly do, and we will do that.
Very good.
Okay, so what's new with you, Tom?
Not a lot. I've got a little wireless glitch, so my wireless stopped working, but that's all right. I barely use it anyway.
Okay.
And other than that, it took me a long time, not being a gamer, to really get my head around this advanced gaming episode. So apologies to all, but I think we've got it right now.
Okay, great. Well, let's get started, shall we?
Right. I found step one, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, Larry, is get your drivers in a row.
So you kind of take the drivers and you line them up and one right
well,
after
yeah,
the other.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I get the idea. Figuratively
right.
speaking, yes.
After I reinstalled Ubuntu, a few days passed and I went, oh, I haven't played Sauerbraten in a while. And Sauerbraten is native to Linux, so that didn't require anything that's in this episode.
Right.
And I opened it up and, oh, it was one of those deals where you try to move the cursor, and you move your mouse, and the cursor moves maybe 5 seconds later. So you got to fight your way to the quit button to get out of there.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah. So the solution was that I hadn't installed the NVIDIA card drivers, and so my video was running dead slow.
Yep.
And it occurred to me that if somebody's following these episodes and they're trying to install games on Linux and they don't have their drivers, they might blame Linux. So don't blame Linux. If things are running slow, check to see if you've got the right drivers for your cards.
That's right. I had the same problem with my ATI driver, and I had been just running on the generic Linux video driver, which does not take advantage of some of the things that the ATI card is capable of. And once I installed the ATI driver, the games ran just fine, as long as I turned off CompIs.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah, that's another thing. You want to turn off your video effects and fancy effects for the video that take advantage of the power of the video driver. And once you've done that, it's not going to be competing with the game for visual effects.
Right. And for Ubuntu users, you can check your drivers by clicking on System, and there will be a drop-down menu. Then click on Administration and Hardware Drivers. And if you need hardware drivers, there will probably be suggested drivers there for you. And a couple of clicks and you've got them.
Right, exactly. And you can disable the, quote, proprietary, unquote, drivers if you wish later on, if you're, you know, not so concerned about not using proprietary software on your computer. But
right.
If you're playing Windows games, I don't think you're going to have a problem with that, quite frankly. And when you make that selection from the system menu, that's going to display the best drivers that are available for your particular hardware. So if you have an ATI card, it will suggest the ATI drivers. If you have an NVIDIA card, it will suggest the NVIDIA drivers and so on.
And I think Linux Mint might just do all that stuff itself. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure either, because I have only ever installed Linux Mint on hardware that was able to take advantage of the generic drivers, and I have it right now running on a very old computer, so I'm not concerned about video effects or running games on it anyway. So the generic driver works just fine in that case.
And if you have another distribution, you might have to do just a little bit of research to find out how to install those proprietary drivers.
Right, but I'd check the same menu place, the system menu, administration, then hardware drivers. I think that may be a standard location for these kinds of things.
Sure. Now, before we get into Windows games, there are some pretty great games for Linux that run natively on Linux. For example, my latest favorite right now is something called Penumbra, and that's from Frictional Software.
That's Frictional, not Fictional, right?
Right. Sounds like Fictional, but Frictional.
Okay.
It's a sort of a first-person shooter situation, but it's also a kind of a puzzle-solving situation. You're in a room, you have to find objects, find the way out, find the way to the next room, find more objects, look at maps, that kind of thing. And I know that sounds boring, but the physics engine in this thing is just beautiful. I mean, you walk up to something that can move and push it or pull it or pick it up and drop it, and it reacts in a very real-world way as far as moving, falling, inertia, kicking up dust, all that sort of thing. That it's got a very real feel to it, and the whole game is kind of creepy and dark and scary, and I actually find my pulse going up sometimes.
So it sounds like a 3D version, a very dark 3D version of Clue.
Okay, there you go.
Is that accurate? I'm just going by your description.
Yeah, kind of.
I haven't played it.
Yeah. You don't know what's around the next corner. Maybe you pick up a key and put it in your pocket, and you don't know what it's for, and you run around with it for a while, and then you have that sometime later, that aha moment. I've got a key.
Ah, there's a locked door.
Yeah. Yeah, and that kind of thing. Plus the sound effects, there's a low-level music going all the time. And also the sound of breathing, your breathing. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get to relate to that breathing sound. And if you run or if things get really scary, the breathing starts getting faster, which just gives you the feedback, and it's just all that much spookier and scarier. It's kind of like a great horror movie.
That sounds great. Sounds great. I'm going to have to try that one. So there are a number of other games, of course, and some of them Some of the ones that are native to Linux are Sauerbraten, the one that you mentioned, Tom, and
right.
Alien Arena and Open Arena, which I think for the hardcore Windows gamer who's used to playing the absolute best game, latest game that's out there in a multi-user 3D environment, maybe even on a console rather than on Windows, those are going to seem like a little simplistic, I would imagine, but they're good games nonetheless.
Those three that you mentioned, Sauerbraten, Alien Arena, and Open Arena, are real similar to ID Software's offerings in the Quake family.
Right.
Run, jump, shoot, kill monsters, or play against other people and shoot other people. And
yeah, I know. I don't know about Alien Arena or Open Arena, but I know that Sauerbraten, they have developed their own engine. And as a player of the game, if you want to develop your own levels, you can do that.
Right.
You can design your own landscapes. You can design your own dungeons or whatever you want to call them and add as many or as few monsters as you want, different types of monsters, how skilled are the monsters, different levels, lots of different things.
Plus, you can develop those levels live as a team. So you all gather in one place that looks like a blank plane.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead and build your buildings and rooms and stairways and tunnels and lakes and whatever. And the team gets to build and save their own level.
Yeah, this would be kind of interesting. I don't know if it's possible where one group is creating the level as the other group is playing it and the level changes as you're playing the game.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be kind of interesting, sure. Wouldn't it? Yeah. So, a lot of these native Linux games have a lot of good features to them, some good gameplay, and they may not have the absolute best 3D graphics because some of them are a little older, but they're still great games.
Sure.
Great games to play.
And beyond that, now we're going to get to the point where there's still people out there that want to play their Microsoft games, right?
Right, absolutely. That's what gaming's all about, is the ability to play whatever game on whatever platform you want.
Right.
Or at least that's what I'm told.
Right. And if you're going to play a Windows game on a Linux system, you are probably going to be using the Wine, W-I-N-E, emulator.
And the one thing you have to remember about Windows games, they're designed for Windows.
Right.
So they may not work as well on Linux. If you want Linux games, talk to those game publishers and tell them you're a Linux user and you want it ported to Linux, or
there you
want it designed to run natively on Linux.
Right.
Because especially if it doesn't run well in Wine. But there are plenty of them out there that do. Right, Tom?
Right. It might run perfectly. It might not run at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of a crapshoot, and what you can do is go online and Google search, enter something like Play Eve Ubuntu or Install WoW Wine or things like that, and you're probably going to find instructions to enter into your terminal or scripts to run or things like that where other people have explored this thing and found what they find to be the best way to install those Windows games in Linux.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you're doing your searches on Google for whatever you're searching for, you may end up finding forum posts or articles written by people who may not have exactly the same hardware that you have. In fact, it's more likely that you'll find a post by somebody who has different hardware than you.
Sure.
What do you do about that, Tom?
In that case, you're going to have to dig a little deeper. For instance, you might install up to the point where it says NVIDIA, and then go into that forum and say, what if I don't have an NVIDIA card? Or when you do your initial Google search, instead of install WoW Wine, you do install WoW, Wine, NVIDIA. There's no hard and fast rule here. You're looking for free advice from other people, and those other people might not have the same setup that you do, so they would have come up with different instructions and solutions.
Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of tweakery to be done. And a little bit of experimentation, I'm sure. And the good thing is that if you find a solution for your hardware, go onto the forum and post it.
Right.
Because that'll help somebody else.
Right.
All right, so I think we have an email from one of our listeners, James, who wrote in quite a while ago, actually, now, since we've taken a little while to record this episode. But James wrote to us, and this might be an example of the kind of thing we're talking about here, Tom.
Right. This is a pretty typical solution of how someone got a Windows game to run on Linux.
So James wrote to us, hi.
Hi, James.
Hi, James. I noticed that your next podcast was about gaming on Linux. I thought I would give you some of my experiences with Wine and a few Windows games that I play, and not Minesweeper either. I played World of Warcraft for 2 years, and I've moved on to EVE Online. Both are very in-depth MMORPGs.
Massively multiplayer online role-playing games.
Right. So, both are very in-depth MMORPGs, which push the hardware and the 3D graphics quite a bit. I started on Slackware with Wine 0.9.28, running WoW, which is World of Warcraft for the non-gamers in the audience, and now I'm running Ubuntu 9.10 and using the package Wine 1.2, which is actually a pre-release. The current version is 1.1.31. At this point, I strongly recommend using this version rather than the old 1.0 version. Or on 9.04, you will need to install the Personal Package Archive, or PPA, from the Wine HQ site. And just an aside, Tom, there are instructions on how to do that on the winehq.org site.
Okay.
Running these 3D Windows games under Wine is usually very doable, but sometimes you need to do some minor tricks to get them to work correctly. In both cases, you need to copy the fonts from the Microsoft Core Fonts package into your Wine folder. So at the command line, you can use the CP command, copy, or you can do this graphically as well, but the CP command would be CP space, then the path to the Microsoft Core Fonts, which would be /us/share/fonts/truetype/msttcorefonts, which is abbreviation for Microsoft TrueType Core Fonts, /*, and then the rest of the command tells it where to put those core fonts, and you would use your home directory, which is shortened by a tilde, then slash, then .wine, which is the hidden Wine folder, /drive_C, which is the fake C drive in Wine,
right.
Then /windows/fonts, and fonts has a capital F, /. So that last part of the command again is /.wine/drive_C/windows/F fonts/. So all of the rest of the text in the command except that F is lowercase, and the fonts, the word fonts, has an uppercase F at the beginning.
Can we put this email into our show notes, Larry?
Yeah, you know, that's a good idea. We'll put the whole email in the show notes. At the very least, we'll include the command line, but the steps that James recommends will
right.
include. So continuing with James' email, for WoW, you will need to edit the launcher, which is the icon, by right-clicking on it and add to the command -OPENGL, OpenGL. to the very end of that command. The game will now run flawlessly. For EVE Online, you will find it much better to run it on a virtual desktop rather than the seamless mode that Wine uses. And he writes, I changed the launcher's command line to something like, and we'll include his command in, it's fairly lengthy and wouldn't make a lot of sense for us to read,
right.
So we'll include that in the show notes. Many games have tips like this on the Wine application store, which is Wine App DB, and it turns out that many of them work as well on Wine as they do on Windows. Having said this, there's the occasional glitch. Ubuntu 9.10 has a setting in its default kernel which causes EVE Online to fail to start. It's actually a bug in the game which sometimes affects Windows users as well. And CCP is aware of it. Not a Linux or Wine issue at all, but for the moment it affects Ubuntu 9.10 much more seriously than Windows users or 9.04 users. For anyone wishing to run it on 9.10 and has this problem, there is a simple workaround. Disable your network, start the game, then wait until a game's login prompt is displayed, then re-enable the network, and it will work as expected. I hope this is helpful to some of your listeners, and if you read it out, can I add, if there are any listeners playing EVE Online who would like to join my corporation, contact me in-game under the name Kneva, that's K-N-E-V-A-H, or apply to Cutthroats Academy in Miraline. James.
Right, and Cutthroats Academy is three words.
Yes, Cutthroats Academy.
Right. So there you've got one example of something you might expect to see if you're searching for how to install your Windows game under Wine. Okay, next, let's just say that someone has gone out and found all of those tricks and put them into scripts for you so that you can just run a script and do the install and not have to worry about going into your terminal and typing that stuff in.
Well, that would be very handy, wouldn't it?
That sure would. Now let's take it one step further.
Uh-huh.
Let's just say that somebody has taken all those scripts and put them into a graphical user interface so that you can just point and click at the game you want to install.
That would be even better.
Wish granted. There's something called Play on Linux.
Aha! I knew this was a reality just the way you were talking. This was not a hypothetical situation. This exists. So tell us about it, Tom.
Now, you may remember that in our introductory gaming episodes, we found a site for you called AppDB, APPDB. And you can go there and install all sorts of games and applications that are native to Linux. Play on Linux kind of works the same way, except it's a program that you're going to run from your machine.
Okay. So I see we have a screenshot of Play on Linux that we will include in our show notes. Interesting. It kind of looks like the add remove programs.
A little bit.
Yeah, it does. It's got the same sort of categories for accessories, development, education, games. So this is not just limited to games then, Tom.
No, as a matter of fact, I have a working copy of iTunes running on Ubuntu 9.04 right now.
Ah, and you installed that using Play on Linux, huh?
Installed it using Play on Linux, and it works. I installed it, and then I went and looked for the Going Linux podcast, subscribed to it, and listened to an episode right there.
Wow, so you're using Apple software on a Microsoft emulation under Linux. That's about as cross-platform as you can get in one machine, Tom.
It made me feel very geeky.
Well, this is not just a gaming episode. This is a interesting episode about Play on Linux. And to be quite upfront about this, we have had a number of listeners suggest that we talk about Play on Linux in an episode, and this is your episode, folks.
Sure.
Play on Linux is very powerful software, and it is Do we know the name of the person who's created it, or?
No, you know, going into their site, it was kind of difficult to determine really who's in charge. I wrote to them because I wanted us to interview somebody from the mm-hmm. site, but I really wasn't sure if I was sending the email to the right person. So.
And you haven't heard anything back yet?
No, nothing.
Okay, well, if we do hear something, or if someone at Play on Linux hears this and knows who should be the person for us to interview, write us an email at goinglinux@gmail.com, and we'll make the arrangements. So, Tom, the Play on Linux site itself, does it give us any indication as to what kind of games and applications are available through Play on Linux?
Absolutely. If you go to the Play on Linux site, over on the right, there's a link that says Scripts. That gives you a pretty comprehensive list of the different games and applications that it will support.
Okay.
And, for instance, we've got several versions of Age of Enemies, Anno, Assassin's Creed, Baldur's Gate, BioShock, Borderlands, and I'm just picking a few here. Call of Duty 2, Call of Duty 4, Command and Conquer, a few different versions of that.
I see Star Wars, I see StarCraft, I see SWAT 4, something from the 70s maybe. Tomb Raider. I used to like playing Tomb Raider on my old Windows 98 PC.
Couple kinds of Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
And, of course, I don't think Eve is on here. No, Eve isn't on here. But World of Warcraft is. And I think just about all of the Steam products, Need for Speed, Stalker, Silent Hill, all kinds of Star Wars stuff, and on and on. There are tons and tons of applications that it will install for you. Really easy.
Really good. That's really good. All right. So we have made a lot of suggestions for folks. Hopefully this will get those gamers that are a little more advanced something useful that they can use in the way of a reference to begin thinking about installing Windows games under Linux and being able to play them.
Right. And if you're running Ubuntu, there are Debian packages that install Play on Linux. Point and shoot. There you go.
Okay, great. Well, Tom, since we're at the end of our advanced episode here, I have to take a moment and thank you for all the hard work you've done in researching this. I know it was a lot of work. You sacrificed a lot of personal time to do the research. It was a horrendous amount of effort, and it was tough slugging. I know that playing all these games.
Yeah.
Thanks. I hope you had a good time.
I did. This was fun. Play on Linux is really a fine application, and if you're not a gamer, there are a lot of other applications for Windows that it'll play. So those of you who have been missing your iTunes, now you've got it back.
Right, exactly. And just one word of caution for those of you who are tweaking your system with Play on Linux or installing applications under Wine or doing things like that. As Alan Pope, Popey, from the Ubuntu UK's podcast had mentioned last episode, when you install applications from third-party sites, you have to be a little careful. There has been malware that has been developed on third-party applications that will affect Linux, and when you're installing stuff under Wine, you're susceptible to the Windows viruses under Wine as well, so be a little careful there.
Yeah, you're kind of opening the bunker.
Yes, you are. And also, as Popey mentioned, when you're installing all these third-party things, your Ubuntu upgrade to the next release may not work. So just be aware. We're not saying not to do it. We're just saying be aware of what you're doing. That's
right.
All right. Well, our next episode, Tom, is listener feedback. Until then, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information, detailed instructions, screenshots, screencasts, and other screen things, as well as illustrations.
And you can email us with your comments, questions, and suggestions. And remember, if you have a topic that you want us to cover on the show, use the Podcast Alley button to leave your topic suggestion while you vote for us on their site.
You can also send us an audio comment by email. We'll play it on our show. Our email address is goinglinux@gmail.com.
You can follow our updates on Twitter and Identica, and also now on what?
Facebook.
Facebook.
Yes.
And wherever you go, our handle is Going Linux, one word. You can download the episodes from the website, or you can use the Flash Player to play them right there on the show notes page.
You can also get future episodes delivered automatically directly to your computer as soon as new episodes are available. For instructions on how to do that, go to subscribe.goinglinux.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.
Whether you've only heard of Linux or if you're an expert, here's your chance to learn more about it at the Southern California Linux Expo. For 2010, Scale has expanded to 5 speaker tracks. The expo now includes a beginner's track for those new to Linux and a developer's track for the coders out there. Scale will have over 50 speakers who will cover the latest topics in open source, and the expo floor will have over 80 booths with both commercial and nonprofit organizations showing off their products and software. The Southern California Linux Expo is February 19th, 20th, and 21st, 2010 at the Westin LAX Hotel in Los Angeles. For more information or to register for the expo, visit SoCalLinuxExpo.org. Use promo code CAST, C-A-S-T, for 40% off of your registration. We'll see you at Scale 8X.